Sorry, we had a meeting that ran a little long just before this, so. Whitney, are we ready? Let's get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to the work session for the May 21st, 2024 meeting. And our first item, we're going to turn it over to Chief Stone to make a presentation to us on South Davis Metro Fire.
Well, Mayor, members of the council, I appreciate the opportunity to come before you and talk about the annual report. I was just telling Tiff last time we did this together, he went first, and he really hurried through his presentation, so I had more time. So I'm going to pay back the favor to him and just leave him, you know. So we'll get through this for him. But anyway, I really appreciate this opportunity. It's this is something that we put together every year. We have since I became the fire chief in 2020, and it's just more of a yearbook. And just an example of what your fire department does. And so obviously with time, I don't want to, you know, take away from Tiff's time, but we'll kind of go through this. But I would, if at any time you'd like to ask me a question, please stop me and we'll go over anything, any specifics. So I think, Wendy, you showed me this, but yeah, I don't know. I told Wendy I'd rather have her just. Yeah, let's just do it. It's like the weather. I trust you. It's like the weather person just having to, and just keep, just beep. Yep. Beep. All right. So we'll start off with this. I just, my message in the intro, just some of the things I'd like to highlight real quick was in 2023, we saw a reduction in calls. That was about, I don't know, 130 calls from 2022, and a lot of that was based out of the fact that we stopped with a effort with Lakeview Hospital. We started to take less interfacility transfers. They kept keeping more of their patients, where before they would have a patient come to the ER and then they would transfer it out to another facility, St. Mark's or IMC. So with a concerted effort between our EMS chiefs and administration and Lakeview Hospital, we decreased that significantly, which allowed us to have more ambulances and medical response for 911 calls. So the decrease in call volume was good. Obviously, we'd like to see it increase. You always want to say, well, we have to be here because, you know, we have more calls. But nationally and especially statewide, we're seeing a decrease in 911 responses and ambulance transports. So the other thing too was our fire response. We had nationally, we had the slowest wildland fire throughout the nation last year, with the exception of Maui. Obviously we know about that one, but and that was 22-23, but we saw a decrease in our wildland fire response. We saw an increase in our structure fires, but we saw a decrease in our wildland fires.
Decrease in number, time?
Help me. Number.
Okay.
Yep. Less call volume as far as wildland fires go. A lot of that is attributed to our stance, and North Salt Lake does a great job in allowing us to keep that firework line at Orchard Drive. And then we maintain that to Bountiful now all the way to Centerville, and then Centerville has a different line. And I think people are becoming more aware of fireworks and the dangers of fireworks, and then we know we have a great participation up at the Liberty Fest, right, with our fireworks. And North Salt Lake does a great fireworks show, and probably one of the biggest in for our area. We have three fireworks shows that night: West Bountiful, Centerville, and North Salt Lake. And obviously, we put more people at North Salt Lake than we do the other cities. So don't tell them that, please. Just keep it on the down low. But we do see that. So our wildfire reduction was another reason why we saw a decrease in calls. And then our retention was a big thing. But with the administration committee, and you'll see that with Ken Leatham and the board, we were able to consolidate our pay scale down and do a wage salary survey. And that was huge for us as far as retention goes. We lost 8 people to other fire departments. And those individuals had 5 to 10 years. So that's really hard to maintain that level of service with that kind of reduction. We haven't seen that since we've done our pay scale. And that's attributed to, obviously, Ken and the mayor for being on our board and on our committee and helping us with that. So. Beep. Yep. There you go. So this is our makeup. You can see the handsome gentleman there at the bottom, and well, the two, Ken and Mayor, their photos. But the Board of Trustees is made up of every mayor of the city that we serve, and then a county commissioner, and our commissioner is Stevenson. And then we have an administrative committee, and that committee is made up of the city managers or city administrators of those cities. They are our financial budget officers, so to speak. So Ken has been 2 years when I became the fire chief. Ken was my admin chair, and we went through a truth and taxation, which was fun. And then he ejected really fast. I've never seen anybody pull the ejection seat so fast, but I appreciate that. And that working relationship that we have with the admin committee to work through our budget and then present the budget to the board. So right there. This is our mission and talks about our department. So we are a full hazard fire department. So North Salt Lake has 2 fire stations. We have Station 82, which is on Eaglewood Drive, and Station 85, which is down off 1100 North in Foxborough. Station 85 is is where our ladder truck is, and then it is also our hazmat technician level. So 82 is a paramedic engine or paramedic house for us, so we have 2 paramedics out of that as well. And then just talks about that. So our other fire stations, we have 1 in Centerville and 2 in Bountiful. The Centerville Fire Station is our tech rescue, and they are the ones who do like the water rescue, the high angle rescue. Anytime we have like maybe a contractor at the refineries that gets injured up on one of their elevated racks, our crews go in there to help them get them off and stuff. So on top of their firefighting skills, their EMS skills, they have to be trained in hazmat and tech rescue as well. So. And then this
Chief,
year,
oh, just yep. You need to update your organizational chart.
So this was in 2023, Mayor. That's why. So yeah, I know, and I'll talk about that. But before we leave this page, you think you trust somebody, and then they just get clicky. So we put together a committee. A strategic planning committee that we're working on a strategic plan. And one of the tasks that was given to them was to come up with a new mission statement. Our mission statement before was long. You couldn't have, I guarantee you, not one firefighter knew our mission statement because it talked about dealing with all the hazards and everything like that. So this mission statement now, our mission statement is to preserve life, protect property, and exceed the expectations of those we serve. Now they can recite that. It's easily, you know, and as, you know, firefighters, we say, hey, you just have to be smart enough to put the wet stuff on the red stuff. But now we've given them something that they can go, yeah, I can remember that. So our organizational chart, as Mayor alluded to, is need to be updated, but this was in 2023. You'll see Dave Powers there as the administration chief. And Chief Powers just recently retired with 35 years of service. And now Jeff Larson, who you see on there on that same line as the EMS chief, is now took Chief Powers' place. So in 2024, when I come to present this, we'll talk about that when that change. But yep, great. Look at that. I didn't even have to say anything. Yep. I know. It was awesome. Here's our fire stations, where they are located and what apparatus they have in it. And then you'll see on the resource deployment our call volume, our population, day population, and then the communities that we serve and our square miles. So you see that we ran 7,500 calls. And that's, like I said, about 136 less than in 2022. Let's go next. There we go. Just a snapshot of the district and what we do. And you can see on the left-hand side, it's the apparatus and their call volume. Ambulance 81, which comes out of Station 81, is our busiest ambulance. So that crew is, they run calls pretty much their entire shift. And then Medic Engine 81 that comes out of there is also their busiest medic engine. You'll see down on Truck 85, which is the Station 85 down North Salt Lake, and Engine 82 is our up here on Eaglewood. Our Medic Engine 82 is our busiest, second busiest medic engine, but you can see the call volume on Truck 85. So just some pictures, and then on that little pie, you can see the administration personnel, fire prevention, the paramedics, firefighter paramedics. Everybody is either a firefighter, paramedic, or a firefighter advanced EMT. So if they come in as a basic EMT, we have to make them or get them to classes to make them an advanced EMT. So we'll go ahead to the next
page. Would you go back just for a sec?
Absolutely.
And explain the middle picture. I think that's such a great tradition.
Oh, the push-in. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yep. So you'll see that middle picture there of the crews around the ambulance. So that red ambulance there, most of our ambulances are white. When I was appointed as the deputy fire chief, the fire chief at the time was Jim Rampton, and I always wanted to do red ambulances because our engines were red. And so he's like, no, we can't do that. I'd like to, but it's not going to look good. And then I tried to talk Chief Bassett into doing it as well. And then I didn't have to talk anybody into doing it when I became the fire chief. So, but what we're doing there is the push-in. So in the history of the fire service, when we had, when they would go, when the fire engines or the steamers were pulled by horses, they would go out on a call, come back, but you couldn't back the horses in. So they would push the apparatus or the hose cart back into the station. So when we get a new fire apparatus, we simulate the push-in. And that is the blessing of the fire apparatus to put it back into and then put it into service. We get a lot of, there are some fire departments that laugh that we push in an ambulance because, you know, there weren't ambulances that were drawn by horses. But for us, it's just symbolization of representing the history of the fire service. So that's what the push-in is. We do it with the engines as well. They're a little bit harder to push in, so we do get a little help from the driver, and he'll put it in reverse. But anyway, so that's the history of the push-in. So, and now we have red ambulances, and I love it. So,
Chief, can I ask a question? On the last slide, specifically about the CERT classes,
yeah.
I think that's such a great community resource, and I love feeling like we have all of these members of the community that could step in when needed. That is something that we have tried in a subcommittee that I'm a part of to advertise in our city without a lot of success. I know some cities, Bountiful in particular, has a really solid CERT program. Do you have any advice or tips, or this is the real difference between cities who don't get a lot of participation and cities that do? I know there's a really well-developed infrastructure there in Bountiful. Is that the whole answer? Give me your advice.
So CERT is an interesting creature. When CERT first started coming, I remember we had a refinery fire at Silver Eagle. And I worked out of the old fire station here where City Hall was. And so responded to that fire. And I remember some individuals showing up in green helmets, and they were like, what do we need to do? And I remember asking the chief, well, the deputy chief at the time, going, who are these guys, right? What are these guys doing? He's like, it's a citizen's emergency. I don't know. Just tell them to go help with traffic. And so I remember thinking, okay, what's the point of this? Then at one time I was over CERT for the department as far as making that. And Chief Rampton at the time was like, hey, we just need to facilitate it. That's what we want to get to. And so that's kind of where we are right now. We facilitate CERT for Bountiful City and for any other cities. Centerville tried to do it. I'm not sure why cities, there's such a pull for Bountiful, but Bountiful is completely self-sponsored. They're all volunteers. We only assist in some of the classes, but their personnel that do that are committed, and they do a great job. I don't know personally. I think that if we could expand on that with the other cities, and Bountiful, that group is more than willing to train anybody from other cities. It's just a matter of getting somebody that either has the time and the commitment and a group of people to do that and to create that buy-in. And that's really what it is. It's really hard to get the buy-in from people. The training, though, regardless if you have a CERT program, we're just talking about it, the training that you get, in case of an emergency, that you're able to just keep yourself and maybe your neighbors safe or help them, the CERT program is perfect for that. If you're looking for something like what Bountiful does, I think you need to find a group of people similar to Bountiful's that is committed, willing to put in the time, because the time commitment that they put in is beyond belief. And some of the people that have tried to take it over from the last individual that had it were like, I can't do what he was doing. And so I think that's the big failure, is that the people just don't have the time to put into it with everything else we have going on in our lives. So
thank you.
Yeah. But CERT's a great program. They can do a lot more than just guide traffic. And I see that now. So these are some pictures. We'll talk about the admin reports, but just some pictures of our crews training, our 9/11 memorial that we do every year. Every year we bring the bell out, have the crews line up, and we ring the bell five times, which is a lost firefighter signal. And so we do that. And then I'll talk about that Baku bike there in just a minute. So what's next slide? Jessica Hardy, who is my financial director, is a lifesaver. She has turned our finances around since she's been here in 2017. You can see that just shows you our budget in 2023 and then our expenditures and where the majority of that budget goes. So I like this. I like cruising through this thing. So our Fire Prevention Bureau, Cole Fessler, and now Amanda was our fire inspector. She is our part-time fire inspector now, and we have another full-time inspector. Just kind of shows you there what our Fire Prevention Bureau does and our investigation. So anytime we have a structured fire, those gentlemen on the bottom are our fire investigators. They get specially trained to go in and investigate fires that we have. Make sure if it's too big or we think there's something major, then we'll call the state fire marshal's office in as well. So, and then just some stats that we have as far as the team, how many fires they investigated, et cetera, on that. So Every year we do three fire prevention open houses. One at the North Salt Lake 85 station down on Redwood Road is probably our biggest now. It used to be not. Station 81 in Bountiful was our biggest. And then we do one in Centerville at Station 83. And then, like I said, the one in which that Foxborough community comes out with a vengeance. They really pack that fire station. So it's a great opportunity for us to interact with the public. So I really like that. We give away a lot of pink and red fire hats. So our training division consists of Josh Hardy, who is our division chief, and then right then at this time was John Ray, but John Ray now has moved into operations again, and we have a new training captain. All the different training hours that we completed. Like I said, it on top of your fire, your EMS, your special operations like technical rescue and hazmat. And then all of us have to be wildland red card certified for our wildland urban interface. I just recently completed my PAC test, which my hips have finally recovered from. It's a 45 minute walk, 3 mile walk in 45 minutes with a 45 pound pack on. So we do that down here on the Legacy Trail. If at first you feel like the speedwalkers from the Olympics, about five steps into that, I couldn't do that anymore. And I think that's why my hips hurt. And my wife's like, you're not 25 anymore. So I completed it and I've got my certification again. So the oldest man on the fire department still has, I've got it. So, we can go to the next slide. Our operations division, we'll go to the next slide. Chief Greg Stewart is my number two. He's the, who does number two work for? Greg is that guy. So Greg was number three, and now with Chief Powers retirement, Greg was over operations. Now Greg is over administration. And Jeff Larson, who you see is EMS operation, is now over all of operations. Just some things we did this year. So our paramedics used to, before 2023, we had two paramedics on our fire engines and then two advanced EMTs on our ambulances. We switched that in 2023 to go one and one. So we have one paramedic on an engine, one paramedic on an ambulance. That gives our advanced EMTs opportunities to ride on a fire engine and our paramedics be on the ambulance. And then we can get an ambulance out too. So we already have, a paramedic on every call. And then that level, depending on the severity of that call, they can up or decrease or increase the if they need another additional paramedic with an engine. So that was a big operational change. We also had to consolidate virtually our dispatch systems with Layton City and Davis County. And a lot of big talk about creating one dispatch center. We didn't do that. We are dispatched out of Bountiful City Police Department. And now we have been the only fire department dispatched out of Bountiful, and now there's rumors of Kaysville and Farmington coming into that as well. So that was a big thing as well, though, to consolidate that. So our EMS operations is our biggest. 76-78% of our call volume is EMS. Everybody would like it to be more fires, but it's just not the way it is. So the firefighters call themselves EMT firefighters because they're not firefighter EMTs. We don't fight any fires. And I remember feeling that way when I came on because the chiefs before me talked about how many fires they fought. And I fought a lot more fires than these guys do now, but that's good. Fire prevention is where it's supposed to be, and that's a better thing. So hopefully there's no firefighters listening to me right now, but I'm glad to see that. So you can see the two bikes in the bottom picture. Chief Larson was able to get a grant, and we purchased two Baku bikes, which is a Utah company. That is for all the trail systems that we have. So we can send two firefighters up a trail a lot faster. Those bikes, we clocked one going 50 miles an hour, was the top speed on one of those bikes, but that was on a pavement. I still haven't found the firefighter that did that, but I'm looking. But that gives us the opportunity to get up those and get care sooner to somebody that's up on the trails, whether it's Wild Rose, Mueller Park. And we saw a big increase in, obviously, a lot of people in the trail system during COVID. So this was a necessity, and it was turned out really well for us. So I don't know if you've ever ridden an e-bike. I mountain bike quite a bit. I've never been on an e-bike. When I rode this e-bike, I was going up Fort North. I wanted to see how it did. And Jeff Larson was not a big mountain biker, and he was pulling away from me. And I was like, what's going on here? I bike a lot. I didn't understand. So I was gearing down and I wasn't throttling, and he was gearing up and throttling, and he was just shooting up the mountain. And so he took a picture of me because he's like, I'll never have this opportunity again. So, it's different. It's a different beast, but they are really nice bikes. So our hazmat team is led by Captain Andrine. You see that? And then just some things that we were able to do are we have probably one of the best hazmat teams in the state. Salt Lake City has a great hazmat team, but they will call us because we have some technical and, well, really instruments that they don't have, and we've been able to acquire through grants and through some of the grants through the refineries. And so our hazmat team is by far one of the best in the state, and I would put them up against anybody. Our tech rescue team is run by Captain Wade Rigby, who is now our training captain. And the amount of practice that they put in on Bountiful Pond as far as water rescues, because that's really but we see a lot of water rescues out of Wet Warm Springs coming off the freeway there. We've rescued a couple people out of that one. And then our technical rescue up in the mountains, we have a significant amount of people, like I said, up on the trails, and we'll go up. During COVID, a lot of people were looking for social media and where can I go hiking, where can I be outside? And on several people that we pulled off the mountain had never been off pavement. And they heard that these trails were really pretty. And so we got up there and we had a lot of rolled ankles and a lot of people that probably needed to be on maybe a little bit more of a green trail than a black diamond trail. So our tactical rescue team does a great job of getting up there and getting those people out, along with Davis County Search and Rescue. So we have a good coordination with them. So just some significant incidents. And I'll just highlight kind of the ones that are in. You probably remember the our attic fire up in North Salt Lake that was caused by a chimney fire. And I know Councilmember Jackson knows. I'm good friends with those. Their boys and my boys played football together. And so I was up there, but that's an unfortunate event, and that was a large home to lose. We never like to see anybody lose their home, but it's a lot better when we don't have any loss of life. So, and that we were fortunate there. So, and then we had one fatality fire that's right next to there, that was in South Bountiful by the cemetery there. So fatality fires are never fun, but unfortunately they do happen. So anyway, we'll go to the next one. Our promotions in 2023 are a big deal for us. We hold promotion ceremonies. We just held one last week, but these are our promotions that we had. Two battalion chiefs, four captains, and then we had two paramedics graduate in 2023. And an engineer. Engineer is the driver operator. Our paramedics go through Weber State Paramedic Program, and so when they get acknowledged for that, and then our other ones. But it's a process to get to where they are. And then our retirements, our significant retirements, was Steve Duffield, who was our hazmat captain, and then Chad Willie, Captain Willie, who had 35 years of service. Captain Willie had obviously a lot of the crews had a lot of respect for him. I've never seen anybody retire that when he's walked out of that last shift, the firefighters all lined up for him. And you can see in that picture, they waited for him and lined up for him to walk out of his last shift. And it was pretty humbling to see the amount of respect they had for him. So I'm guessing when I retire, they might just lock me out. So we'll see. But and then just our years of service on that. So sorry, Wendy, but just our years of service, and we keep, you know, we can see that we have a young department 5 years. There's a lot of people in that 5 to 8 year plan. So new employees, we had two classes in 2023. We'll have two more classes in 2024. But our Recruit Academy goes with Salt Lake City and Sandy Fire. And we do that, and that's a 15-week process. We onboard early, and we found success with that. So they come on about a month before they go to Recruit Academy. And so far, we've had great success with that, where we haven't lost as many. We have five graduating on Friday. Excuse me, four. We had five. We lost one. And so we'll have five graduate on Friday, and then we'll, four, and then we'll hire five more to attend class at Recruit Academy in August. So you can just see some of the pictures of those young men, and it is a grueling 15 weeks. So next, Wendy. Just some things that our firefighters, we do the chili cook-off. So every year we participate in the Firefighters Chili Cook-Off, which is usually held down by the Real Salt Lake. And we make some of the best green chili, verde chili I've ever tasted. So if you get an opportunity to go down there and try some chili, and we've won several years. And then we do the burn camps. We'll go up for the kids that have had burns, and we cook breakfast for them. And then every year we send firefighters back to the National Fallen Firefighters Memorial to represent South Davis and to help those that have lost firefighters in the year. And we present flags and do that. So our honor guard does that every year. We started in 2023 the Firefighter Challenge, supporting our firefighters to do that. That is nationally recognized, worldwide recognized challenge every year. And we did fairly well last year, but this year we went to the Western Division, and we placed in every division. So South Davis Metro was well represented in Division 1. We took second. In Division 2, we took fifth. In Division 3, we took first and third. In the team relay, we took second place. And in the tandem, which is a male-female, Nick Mata and a female firefighter from Murray, took first place. So South Davis really showed up at Reno and did a great job. But last year it was held in Salt Lake City, and Nick took first place in Salt Lake City. So we have a good firefighter challenge team, which is not really easy to do. So, beep. And just a couple pictures, and this will be the last of my presentation, but you'll see these are just pictures from the year. And they're not just a bunch of pictures of, we had a significant amount of duck rescues in 2023. So when you're talking about quacking jokes, it was probably one of the most prevalent calls we had, and we're in that season again. So the crews absolutely love it. And you can see that they're smiling. They think it's the best thing ever. So, but just some pictures of our crews and what they do day in and day out, and trying to enjoy the job. But duck rescues were a big thing in 2023, so we'll see a lot more on the west side there. So,
it's my favorite quote so far. Thank you.
But it's a good time. All the fire departments usually we see a lot of, you know, especially fire departments that have wetlands or anything, duck rescues. But it's the what we call the recruit or the boot that gets to do the dirty job. Anybody will get down into the sewers to get the ducks. That's you know, the seasoned guys are like, no, I'm going down there to rescue them. So it's always good to see that camaraderie with them, getting mama back her ducklings. So, and then next, I think, slide is just some more pictures of our crews out working and doing the job. It's just a yearbook. I like to show off what they do day in and day out, and it's a privilege to represent them. So thank you. Any questions I could fill, but I know I've taken more of TIFF time than I wanted to, so.
I have a question. You mentioned that there was a refinery fire previously, and I would love to just get an overview of safety with the refineries. Are the refineries of your jurisdiction? If there is a large fire at the refinery, is that solely on, okay, tell me more.
So the we have a great MOU with all the refineries. So from Chevron, even to Marathon, and Marathon is Salt Lake City's, but we've been called to Marathon to help. But all the refineries we serve. So the refineries have a fire brigade. There are employees that work there, and then if they have a fire, they go and respond from their fire station. And the system works because they usually end up doing valve closures, and we end up doing firefighting operations. But we send our crews back to firefighter or refinery fire school, and the refineries all pay for that. That is totally, all we have to do is cover their shifts. So the working relationship that we have with the refineries is great. And we meet on a monthly basis with them. They talk about issues that they have, what we can do better. So just recently, HF Sinclair had a huge power outage, and it set their flares off. And that's what they're meant to do. So when you see Big West and you see the flare going off, it's meant to do that, to burn off any extra so we don't have any fires. It's impressive, right? Because it's just a huge flare that you normally don't see. But I got a call at 1 o'clock in the morning from HF Sinclair that I'm on their emergency. It says, we've had a catastrophic event. We've got it taken care of. And then their emergency manager texted me and said, hey, just so you know, it's okay. Our crews responded, but they didn't need to go in. It was just a flare that we were seeing. So the coordination that we have with them is great, better than it ever has been. And so it continues to build. And that, sending our firefighters to refinery school, I did it. And I remember coming back thinking, there's not a refinery fire that I don't feel comfortable fighting. You know, you got this big chest. You're like, oh, here I go. But they're still scary, right? I always waited for that. Just that. What was the last thing you heard? It was ping, and that was it, right? But they definitely, the coordination between them and the safety is a lot better than it was when I got in 30 years ago. So.
And then, do you also have capacity if there were to be a catastrophic fire at the refinery? Would the district be able to manage that?
So we'd be able to manage that, but we would definitely call in any mutual or aid. So obviously medicals don't stop when we have a fire, right? Or calls don't stop and go, oh, hold on, they've got this fire going on. Nobody else called 911. But we've got a great relationship with Salt Lake City Fire. Chief Leave and I, the Salt Lake City Fire Chief, go to lunch once a month and talk about our stuff. We have our recruits go to school with them, so they know each other. And then our Davis County fire departments are not as big. We're the biggest department in the county, but we'll call in Farmington and Kaysville, anybody we need to handle that stuff. So, yeah, we're very well prepared. It would deplete our department, there's no doubt. But if the other departments are coming in to help us, so.
Thank you so much, Chief Stone.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Just a shout out to Councilmember Clayton and Jackson for their amazing work at fire school. I couldn't give them enough work to do. They were like, "What? This is it? This is all it takes?" So it was really impressive. So.
I told them they were on your speed dial for backup.
They are, yeah. So. We have their gear just still, the boots, everything's ready to go. So when you go down to 85, it'll be there. So thank you.
That was so fun, I have to say. Respect.
We're just glad we can still move. At least me. Suzette, I'm sure, is fine.
Okay, thank you. Next item is the rec center update. Tiff?
It's working out. There you go. Chief, I've always got ducks in my backyard, so if your guys ever want to come get those ducks out of my backyard, that'd be great. Every year they come back. So, but no, thank you for letting me speak today. I just wanted to come and talk about the district and what we've been doing and some of the updates that we've got going on this year. So I want to touch on a couple things, just sort of touch base on our 2023 year. It was a good year for us. coming back from the last couple, recovering from COVID, a lot of projects that we've had over the last few years. But I just want to touch a little bit on what we've got going on there. So in 2023, we had over 550-ish thousand visitors that scanned or paid to come to the South Davis Recreation Center. That does not count anyone that's already paid for a program coming into the facility and utilizing it for like junior jazz basketball or off-site facility programs for soccer, flag football, whatever that might be. But over 500,000 people came through our facility just to come and utilize it for the day. So we've got a very busy facility. 2023 was a busy year for us. Along with the visitors we've had, like I mentioned, junior jazz, we've got one of the largest junior jazz programs in the state, if not the largest. The same thing about our swim lessons. So we've got a very busy facility, a very busy district. And I mentioned earlier that 2023 was a good year for us. Since 2020, we've had a little bit of a time getting back to where we want to be. 2020 was obviously COVID, which was a fun time for everyone. But in 2020, we started to see that was our first year that we ever had any sort of loss with the rec district. 2021, 2022 were slow recovery years. And then 2023, we got hit with all of the costs for our roof and air handler projects and our things that happened in 2022. So we saw another loss that year. But I'm happy to say after our audit for 2023, we had a $121,000 gain in 2023. We projected a $430,000 loss that year. So we actually had a $500,000 swing. So we were proud of that, and we're excited about 2024 and what that continues to hold for us. One of the things I wanted to talk about with you tonight is just ways that we can help with North Salt Lake and things that we can help do together. I know we had the plan moving forward, and unfortunately that we weren't able to move fast enough to get the new facility with Hatch Park. I definitely would love to continue conversations in the future, not tonight, obviously, but continue those conversations of opportunities to bring something to the south end of the district in the future, because I feel like this is an area that we definitely want to continue to serve more and bring more opportunities down to this area. And that's what we were hoping with the second facility, but if there's other programs that we can help with. I know that soccer is currently being done, but there's other things that we can bring and able to do. We're more than happy to talk about those and find ways that we can help out North Salt Lake and the southern part of the district. And just if you're not aware, the South Davis Recreation District serves North Salt Lake, Woods Cross, West Bountiful, Bountiful, and Centerville. So we stop at Farmington. So we don't serve Farmington. Farmington has its own rec department. But our district has been around for now 17 years. We had our anniversary April 18th for our 17th. I don't know, that's the special 17th year anniversary. Everyone loves that 17th year. But we had a good turnout for people to come, and we got a chance to interact with the customers even more than we normally do. Met with a couple hundred people just as they walked in and throughout the facility. So great opportunity to find out more information. We passed out surveys and gave out surveys to people to fill out online. So we're getting feedback and trying to find ways that we can continue to improve and work on our communication and our work on our ability to serve the district's residents in all the five cities. One of the last times I came to talk, I believe we talked about bonds. So right now we're not in the process of doing that bond. I would say not this year. We're not really looking forward to that this year. It's still something on the conversation for the future. With the Hatch Park changing, that would change the cost of that bond. We're also still in communications with the school district about how we can best service the community from an aquatic standpoint. We do have a 40-meter pool, not a 50-meter or a 60-meter. So our 40-meter pool does not meet Olympic qualification sizes. So we can only hold 25-yard and 25-meter type competitions. The hope is in the future that we'll be able to expand or grow our aquatics to have a 60-meter pool where we can have a full 50-meter pool tournaments and meets and be able to serve a larger portion of the community and bring in different events and things like that that would utilize that pool for that size. We'd also be able to offer more programs when there aren't meets. We'd be able to expand our programming for swim lessons, our aquatics classes, water polo, all those types of things that we currently offer with our aquatics programs. We talked about the I've talked about the possibility that we had with Hatch Park in the past. One of the things we've done in the last couple of years is with Bountiful is our interlocal agreement with them for our ice ribbon. So I'm not sure if everyone's been to the ice ribbon, but it's a great facility that we have. In that facility, we actually make money every year. So far, we have a good agreement with the city of Bountiful. In the future, if something does break, then we'll have to pay a little bit more towards capital projects, but we split the cost for that. And so for the first 4 years that we've been operational with that ribbon, we've actually brought in $130,000 or so dollars in revenue. So it's been a good operation for us, and we're proud of that. And for those that have attended, it's a great environment. It's cool. Wish we had a little bit more lighting, but that's something that we have to maybe work on in the future with Bountiful City. So let me move forward a little bit. So some of the things that we did this year, we changed our hours. We had been open till 11 p.m. Monday through Thursday. We saw that we didn't have very much turnout during that time, so we tried to cut back on some costs and try to save some money there. So we are now closed Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. We did some staff restructuring in 2023 to help save some money as well. So we cut back on one full-time position, and one of the positions took on some extra duties, and we distributed some minor duties to some other employees to help offset some of those costs. So right now we're actually at one full-time staff less than we started 2023 with. So we're continuing to look at our organizational structure and seeing if there's opportunities there as well going forward. We've cut back on some programs over the last couple of years, whether it's adult tennis lessons, girls softball, different types of things, just things that weren't bringing much revenue, track and field. Track and field was successful for us in that we had good participation, but we were having a lot of trouble finding places to do those competitions and have those practices and things like that. So our track and field program has been postponed for the last year or so. I mentioned earlier we completed up and a bunch of projects over the last few years. Those projects were very expensive projects. Our roof and the leisure pool had to be repaired. So we also replaced our rooftop units for the two pools that we have indoors. So that was a $1.8 million project that we undertook in 2021, 2022 mostly. Those projects are complete, paid for, and we're just trying to reap the benefits of now having a better system there and a roof that's not rusted and having issues. We've updated our rules and regulations over the last few months. We've gone through a big process of going through different areas of our facility, looking at the rules, looking at the important parts that we need to address, and making a big rules and regulation list so we can cover everything and make sure that everything's looking, that we're looking at everything that we need to make sure that we're covered and that people understand what they can and cannot do within the facility. And some of you may be aware that our board recently updated our bylaws. Some of those changes really addressed who will become members of the board in the future. Right now we are two board members short. So we are a board of five currently, and we've been a board of eight in the past. But the board decided that they wanted to be at seven, which is more in line with what the code is currently, not when we first started. So we had eight for the longest time. So now we'll be looking to go to seven, and we're currently in the process. And Mayor Horrocks, I know, will be up early talking about that tomorrow morning, so I'm sure he's excited about it. but we'll be looking at getting those two new board members on board in the next month or so. And how much time do I have? I don't want to go too long.
I think you should make your presentation.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, sounds good. So one of the other things we've been working over last year is changes to our budget process. So one of the things our board wanted to see was a more defined, focused look on some of our programs. So over the last few months, we actually increased our number of accounting codes by 900 different new codes to help really narrow down and look really closely at our programs in our different areas of the facility. So this will help us get a better idea of how a certain program is performing, whether or not it's being subsidized by other programs, or if it's actually helping to subsidize other programs, or whether or not it's something that we want to look at in the future, saying maybe this isn't something we want to do anymore. So we're looking at that budget process. We're still working out some of the final details, but most everything's done. But as we look through this process, we'll see things that we need to correct. But 900 plus codes was a lot to add, and it's been a big undertaking by our staff as well as our financial crew with Bountiful City that we have interlocal agreement with. Last fall, many of you may be familiar that or aware that we went through a truth and taxation process about our subsidy. That process, we had a truth and taxation hearing in November, and in December we settled, or the board settled, on an increase to our subsidy of $775,000 for 2024. And just to give you an idea of what that looks like, that was an increase of 76.541%. But that equates to about $13 more per year, $1.12 per month on a $574,000 home. So based off of that, it's about $13 per year on average, but obviously people pay different depending on what their property taxes are. Like I said, that will go into place this year, so we'll see that increase take place for the first time in November of 2024. We've also been working on our cash reserves. So we're in the final stages of that process to look at how much money we feel like we need to set aside for projects in the future, emergencies. With COVID, that showed us that we need to make sure that we're always prepared. And luckily, we did have a reserve already in place. So we're looking to make sure that we have it where we want it to be and if there's something that we need to change in the future. So with the spring, we've had a lot of different programs going on, and I want to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about our memberships and how that sort of relates to North Salt Lake and some of the usage that North Salt Lake residents are getting out of the rec center. So I'm sure y'all can all read those small numbers. Just to give you an idea of what we're looking like there. So we're about 7,200 total memberships, and that incorporates anything from annual passes to monthly passes to punch passes to our insurance memberships as well. So if someone signs up with their insurance, that becomes a membership for us that we get revenue from each month from insurance companies. So we're about 18,500 or so residents from the district that are members of the facility. So what does that look like for North Salt Lake? So looking at the numbers that I was able to find, we have about 1,827 members from North Salt Lake, which is 10% of our total membership from the district. So about almost 2,000 residents from North Salt Lake. So 2,000 out of, I think, what, 21 and 22, somewhere in there? Is that right? What did the new census say? I can't remember, but somewhere around.
We're almost to 25.
25? Okay, yeah. I think that's a pretty good number. We definitely want to increase that, and that's why I want to continue to find ways we can offer more programs and opportunities for North Salt Lake. I did want to mention that 15% of our residents, of our signups for our residents from North Salt Lake for our swim lessons right now. So Bountiful obviously sees the most majority of that just because of the location and just the number of people in Bountiful. But we do see about 15%, which is our second most right now, of people that are registered for our swim programs. Talking more about.
Can I ask you a question? Do you look at the rate of membership per community, per capita membership rate per community, and how it differs?
Yes. So right now, Bountiful's got the highest rate of memberships, and then Centerville's number two, and then North Salt Lake's number three. So.
Okay.
So we've been having our spring programs, they're wrapping up in the next week or so, but I wanted to go through and just sort of show you the participation that North Salt Lake has. I'd say soccer is a little skewed just because North Salt Lake has their own soccer program, but we still had 81 residents participate in our soccer program for 2024 spring. Our youth baseball, we had 37 from North Salt Lake participate. The baseball program took place mostly in Woods Cross and West Bountiful, so that's why those numbers are probably a little bit higher. Flag football had a large contingent from North Salt Lake participate in our flag football program, which is wrapping up this week. I think it was our largest flag football season ever, and we are excited about that and look forward to our fall because we do it twice a year. Same with soccer. So we'll have a fall and a spring flag and a fall and a spring soccer. And I'm hoping in the fall that I'll be able to come back and present on this and those numbers, as well as our junior jazz programs and some of the other things that we've been doing with our budget. We're planning to have a retreat in beginning of July and hopefully get some more details about our budget, the future budgeting process with the board and what that might entail. Youth volleyball, 26 from North Salt Lake out of 257, so about 10% there. Now, looking at our aquatics, if, for those that don't know that of the things that we do for an aquatics and fitness area, so we have open plunge swimming, so that's just coming in to swim on your own time when we have those times available. We have swim lessons, we have swim teams, we have master swim team, water polo, and our water aerobics classes both in the mornings and evenings. Our fitness, we have group exercise classes, we have cycling, personal training, fitness education. So we do a lot of different things that I'll talk about in a minute, some of the new things we're trying to do as well. Small group classes and fitness competitions. We have special events throughout the year, and we have races. So we have at least five big races throughout the year. Then we have three indoor tries that we do. So we do races, 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, as well as two large sprint triathlons, as well as three indoor triathlons throughout the year. So we do a lot of different activities, do a lot of different things through our aquatics and fitness department. There it goes. Okay. There we go. So one of the things I was hoping to talk with the council was we have a new course that we've been trying over the last year for stress and anxiety amongst adults and teens and youth. So the adult course is called Dr. Nedley's Anxiety and Depression Recovery. And then for the teen and youth, we have Sky Breath and Sky Teens. And it gives opportunities for individuals to come and learn techniques that can help them learn to relax, help eliminate anxiety. I know we have a lot of that in today's world with everybody. And so these are opportunities to come in and to learn techniques that will help you to push through those struggles that you may have with stress and anxiety. So I would like to ask the council, and we don't have to make any decisions today, but one of the things I've been asking other councils too is just if we have opportunities to provide maybe like an open house to help promote these events. Just to get the word out to the community, find more opportunities for people to do that. And I could talk with Ken about maybe times that we can maybe look for that. But this has been a really good program for us. It's continuing to grow, and we want to continue to see it grow more and more and find opportunities for more in the community to experience it, because we feel like it's a good chance for people to learn ways to help deal with things maybe a little bit differently than they've tried to in the past. So I mentioned our group swim lessons are one of the largest in the state. We saw a drop off in 2021, and that sort of corresponded with, in 2022, that corresponded with a lack of instructors. We saw in 2022, everybody wanted to be paid more to become a lifeguard instructor. So we were playing a little bit of catch up after COVID to do that. So in 2023, we saw some good recovery numbers there, and we're seeing even more numbers in 2024. So we expect that to be even higher as we're seeing more people that are willing to come in and teach and instruct those classes as well. It's been good to see that change and that growth back coming back. We do want to see more and continue to see more people take these lessons, because learning how to swim is a very important thing in your life. We know across the country we see people that drown all the time, whether it's in a lake, a pool, whatever it might be, and these lessons can help save lives, but they're also opportunities for people to learn how to increase and better their fitness and become more healthy in their lives as well. So some of our current aquatics programs, we have adaptive aquatics. In our swimming lessons, we have junior lifeguarding and junior lifeguard instructor. We do Red Cross certification courses as well, lifeguard courses, CPR first aid, AED. We have an age group swim team. So right now we have about 225 to 230 on average for our swim team every month. So a pretty large program, which ranges from ages, I mean, they're in elementary school all the way through seniors in high school, depending on the program that they're in. Water polo, learn to play water polo. So we just finished up our spring water polo season, so that's been exciting. master swim team, adult swim lessons, and then water aerobics. So a couple other things that we've got going on right now is that we're getting ready for summer. Memorial Day somehow showed up this week. I'm not sure how it got there so fast. But we offer a summer pass now. That's something we added last year. And we're offering those that go from Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day with the option for people to continue that pass on if they wanted to pay the difference for the rest of the year. So we have summer passes going on right now. And we're just excited about this year so far. I mean, I mentioned it's gone by really fast, and it has. But so far, it's been very successful for us. We still have a lot of things to continue to improve, and we're working on those things. But we're looking forward to the challenge of finding ways to offset our costs, increase our revenues, and just find ways to serve the community better and better every day. So I think that is everything I have. And if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer those.
Nope. All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Tiff.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Let's take a 5-minute break, and we'll start at 7:15.